The grace of God is new every day.
Yeah, that is encouraging.
By His grace, we are able to do a lot more than we are understanding, by the grace of God.
Amen.
It's an interesting word that Paul said. He said, it's not me, but the grace of God that works for me, so I can do these things in His name.
Yeah.
So we are very privileged that we can, that God wants to use us to be His servants, to be a vessel of the for His glory. That's great.
That's true, my dear brother, because, you know, when we are able to be used by His glory automatically, many people are being helped and many people can be touched for His glory in Jesus' name.
Yes, you, and Malika, we see it for in many places where, when I'm thinking back, you know, so do you know this word of God in the Psalm 103? It tells us to remember the goodness of the Lord, what the Lord has done. And I think about this work that we've been doing for some time by the grace of God. We give God all the glory and all the praise. He's asking the same question today as He's asking for so many years to all the nations of the world, to the people of the nations. He says, who shall I send? Who will go for me? And those who are willing to go for Him, they will not be ashamed. Because God don't say, who is an expert in speaking? Who is an expert in notes and taking notes to make music? Who is expert? Those I can use. No, He don't say that.
Yeah.
He says, who shall I send? Who will go for me? And all people that says, here I am, please use me, Lord. Those people God will use for His glory. And He will give them the tools necessary to do the task that He have made ready for them to do. You know, I was asking, I was talking with an evangelist here the other day. And as we were writing, I got this word from the Lord. You see, David, when he was out in the field, being faithful, guarding the sheep, many of the brothers did not look at him as anything, almost. Oh, he's just a shepherd. He's nothing. But they're out on this field. David got all the tools that he needed to win this victory that he won over Goliath later.
Yeah.
Out there on the field, in this faithful work that he did, he was teaching and learning how to use this sling to be accurate with. Out there on the field, he was praying, seeking the Lord. And the Lord made his heart, shaped his heart, like He wanted it to be. And we see later, many of them did not, they say, you know, when the prophet Samuel was asked of the Lord, or told from the Lord, I want you to go to this place and anoint to this man, to one of his sons, to be the next king. He was looking, and he was looking at those who were very tall and big and look very strong, you know. But none of them, it was. He said, is this all of your sons? I have one more. He's out on the field. It was David. So we see many did not count him in. But those people don't count in. Those God can use in a very powerful and strong way. And we see what David did by the grace of God. When he came to his brothers, because his father told him, please go to your brothers with some food. Because it's been many days now, 40 days, they've been there in battle. But, you know, there had not been a single battle yet. But they were, this Goliath came down screaming to them, cursing them, speaking bad words to them. And nobody was able to meet him because they were afraid. All these people have put their trust in this king because he was one head higher than the other. He was very tall and strong, Saul. But Saul, he was waiting in his tent for somebody to be volunteer of his army, but nobody came. So the time went on, and this Goliath, his words was bigger and bigger, screaming curses, speaking bad words about God and all this. And when David came to this camp, and he's listening to this to this this bad word spoken, he says, what I am hearing here is nobody reacting. Who is cursing? Who is speaking bad of the army of God? he was a holy anger in David. And we see there. And his brothers, the most resistance to do the will of God, we can see almost it came from his brothers. They said, hey, what are you doing here? Got to go away. Are you going to meet him? Are you crazy, you fool? You know? But he did not care about that because he had his goal set on doing the will of God, to obey the voice of God more than man. So he was not confused he was focused to do the will of God. So we see he asked and said, what did the king say he should get that defeat this Goliath? And we see later that he came into the tent of Saul. And Saul was so happy, finally somebody volunteers, I don't have to meet this Goliath because I don't want to meet him. And then he wanted to give David his armor. But you know, David was not so big in size. And this armor would just slow him down. It was not a good thing to do. And David said, no, I cannot use this because I'm not used to wear this. It's not good. But David, he met Goliath with the armor of God, not of any armor, but he had the armor of God upon himself. And he was prophesying to this giant, and he said, today, the Lord is giving you in my hand, he says, and I will going to cut off your head, he called him. It was a big giant. He was 3 meters tall, and he was a swordsman from his young age. So he was a very skilled fighter, warrior. That's why they were fearing him so much, because he was a dangerous man. But when God is with you, then you are able to defeat the big giants too, because David. That is very interesting. David says, who dares to speak bad about the living God? He tells, when I was out on the field, he tells, and some lion came and tried to take the sheep, I grabbed his throat, his beard, and I knocked him with my hands, he says. Or if it came a bear, and tried to take one of the sheep. I tried to pull the sheep out of the mouth of the bear. But if the bear then stand up against me, I would grab him and beat him with my hands to death. And the same will happen to this man, he said, that are cursing and speaking bad words about the God of Israel. Who is God? And David had his shepherd's stick, and this big giant, he said, I am a dog. Am I a dog because you are coming against me with a stick? Come here. I will give your flesh to the birds of heaven, he said. Then David says to him, today the Lord is giving you in my hand. So he's prophesying up front. He's saying what's going to happen. Because I believe that God had spoken to David before he went down to this valley, before he went down to meet this Goliath. The Lord has spoken to David, told him, go, David, I am with you. I will give you victory. Just be brave. Trust in me. I am 100% sure that David did not do anything without asking the Lord. Because you see, later in the Bible, always David asked God, almost always. Most of the times, David asking God, God, what shall I do?
Yes.
Shall I do this? Shall I do this? So we see this friendship that David had with the Lord, asking him, seeking his will. And we see he went down to the river, finding five stones, very slip and nice. Those stones were shaped by the water. They were not rough, and but they were very nice, so they would go straight to the target when he sent it off. So we see that David, he was running toward a giant. He did not come down there and said, oh, this giant was really big. I tried to hide here. No, no, no. He just straight ahead run against his enemy. But if you think about it, if you start running and throwing this sling, you will have about 25 kilometer more speed of this sling if you are running against your enemy as you throw it. So when David started to run, the speed of this sling shot of this stone would be increased about 25 kilometers, something like that. So that would be enough to penetrate this giant's head. So he would fall down. So God gave David wisdom how to do it. And it was a great victory David won. And we see all the fear that had been tying up all the people was broken. And everybody screaming, and they went after the enemy. And Israel was winning a great victory this day because of one man that God used. Because of one man.
So the Bible says, one righteous man can redeem and can save one nation. You can find a big nation which is full of sin, but because of one man who is righteous, who is ready to be used by God, God himself can use the man to save his nation. When you stand in the gap like David, you find that so many people knew that the God David worships is so powerful. Because amazingly, those small stones David had wouldn't have been a weapon to destroy their enemy Goliath. But because of the supernatural power that came to these stones, hence using them as a tool to destroy the enemy of Israel. So this showed that God can use anything. God can use any person. God can use any person who is even disguised to do the work of God, to redeem those who are dying. Because one righteous man can redeem one nation. As the Bible says, when you are able to do, if you are able to stand in righteousness, stand in the gap God has told you to do, stand in, automatically so many people are going to be helped. And Jesus' friend's team stood in the gap whereby, as they stood in the gap, so many widows are being helped, and also many children and so many people. Many people are being given Bibles. So many helpers come in to help people who are suffering. It is because we are to be faithful, stand in the gap, and do what God tells us to do. This is the reason why so many people are testifying. Acts of today, hello?
Yes, I'm listening, Malika.
Acts of today, I received an email from one of the doctors in Malawi. This is a country in Central Africa. I received a message, and he was telling me that he has been watching these videos, and the one video which made him to accept that Jesus Christ is Lord, it was a video of this young man who walked, whom I prayed for. So this young, small boy who worked hard to make this doctor. Oh, he's having a lot of degrees to accept Jesus Christ as his personal savior. And he was asking me in the letter if it is possible, if really it is possible for us to at least preach the gospel, preach the truth to their area. And, you know, their area is full of witchcraft. But I told you, I sent him a message and told him, if God sent us, we shall come and do God's work. If God opens up a door, we are ready to come and do God's work because we are in the end times.
Yes.
So, my dear brother, what you are saying is very true because God trusts a man. God is not looking at the way how you write, the way how you look like, but God looks at the ready heart.
Yeah.
If your heart is ready, God can use you to redeem those who are suffering, to redeem those who are having a lot of questions in Jesus' name.
So this word is a good word to be faithful in the small things, because actually it's not small, but it is can be a small place in people's eyes. But in these places, these are the places where we are taught what we are needing to go to the next level. This is the place, the practice ground, where we get the tools to do greater things in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
But how can God trust us more if we are not faithful in the small things?
Yeah.
So we need to do this that He calls us to do, and to be told too. You know, Malika, many people have said to you, you are stupid the way you are doing things. Why are you giving accountability? Why are you giving pictures? Yeah. Why are you giving videos? Why are you doing all this? Why don't you take money yourself and make a business yourself? But those voices speaking like that, they have not been taught the basic things. When it comes to the Lord, we need to be trustworthy. We need to do the things that He calls us to obey His words. Because then it will be a wonderful blessing. Look at the disciples. Jesus tells them, you are giving the food to the people. Disciples were also hungry. They have not been eaten for many days, they themselves. But Jesus tells them, you are going to give the people food. And Jesus blessed those fishes and those bread. And it was enough to all the people that was there. They had not been eating for 3 days, I believe. But after Jesus is finished blessing the bread, after the disciples are finished to go out with all this bread, there are 12 baskets full of bread left. You see? It's a good basket to each of the disciples with bread. But some, they want to eat the bread before they give it out because they are afraid. They don't believe that God has blessed the bread. But then they are doing something that is not good, because God needs us to be faithful, to be trustworthy. If not, He cannot entrust us with more. It's not impossible. So we see the disciples gave out the bread, and it was 12 baskets full of bread left. One basket to each of the disciples. They were not going hungry. They were not going hungry. Yes. But they were doing what God told them to do. Give out this bread. They themselves was hungry, but they did what the Lord told them to do. And you see, they were not ashamed. Because God had prepared a great meal for them after they had done His work. Because they were servants. Servants of the Most High.
Yeah.
And so that was the message this day, I believe. from the Lord, Malika.
Amen.
That He needs us to be faithful.
Yeah, we give...
And this place, to be faithful in the place God has put you, because you know, Malika, this word, to humble yourself under the hand of God, and He will uplift you in the right time.
Yeah.
I'm not completely sure of my translation was perfect here.
Yeah, the Bible says that when we shall be humble, God will exalt us.
Yes.
In the right time. When we are humble, we are going to be exalted. When you look at Jesus Christ's ministry, He had one character which is a good character to follow to be a great man of God or a great woman of God. And this character is concerning being humble. Jesus was so humble, He was so gentle. And here, when you make a research on Jesus' ministry, these are some of the pillars which made His ministry to be successful up to date, because He was so humble. Every person loved Him. The young, the rich loved Him. He was listening. So because of His being humble, after 3 days of death and resurrection, the Bible says that He was exalted and to be the King of kings and Lord of lords. So when you look at all these, as we servants of God, we should be more humble, obedient, and at the same time faithful. Jesus was so faithful and obedient to His Father who sent Him. If Jesus has called us as we servants, we should be obedient, faithful, and listening, and also humble to Him, because He's the one who called us. So I'm so happy that when we are able to move forward, I know also God will bless us, and God will bless us abundantly. Our families will be up there. Our relatives will be up there, but after being faithful in whatever we are doing.
Amen. I'm so happy that I can work together with you and with the Lord.
Amen.
And that we can do great things in His name.
Amen.
I was so happy to hear about this doctor that you mentioned, Malika.
Yes, my dear brother.
I'm so happy to hear about this. You know, heaven rejoiced for one person coming to the Lord. The whole heaven rejoiced for this man, this doctor. Oh, one more soul come to the Lord. His name is written up in the book of life. He shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So all the heavens are rejoicing for this one man.
Yes. Amen.
And there can be a listener here, been thinking about this, but he might not know, what shall I do to receive Jesus into my life? What can you say to this person that are thinking like that? What can I do to receive Jesus?
Yes, such a person listening to this audio message concerning salvation, it's simple. The Bible says God, Jesus Christ, is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And He's calling every person who is heavy laden and burdened to come unto Him to give Him rest. You might be having problems which are not making you to be rest. You are not receiving rest because you have a disease, or you have a bank loan, or you have a lot of problems, or you have some problems in your family, or your husband is tormenting you, or your wife is tormenting you. But the Bible says Jesus is at the door right now knocking, because it's the way, the truth, and life. He wants to give you, to show you the truth. He wants to show you the true way you should take. And He wants to give you life. But He can never give you all these three important issues unless you open up the doors of your heart and you allow Jesus Christ to enter into your life. Remember, the only door to heaven is Jesus Christ. The only visa to heaven is Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ himself enters your life, the Bible says that you will never remain the same again. He's a loving Father. He's dear. Every person can forsake you, but when you try the love of Jesus Christ, that love will never forsake you. My dear sister, my dear brother, your money might not help you because also it can forsake you, but only one man, Jesus Christ, who was sent by God his Father to die for us. He was crucified, he was beaten up. Every person mocked him because of you and me. The truth is, he poured a lot of blood through from his hands, from his head, and from his hands, plus all the stripes which were beaten on his body for you and me. Remember, this all shows the love of God as he sent his son Jesus to die for us. This is the reason why he sacrificed his son, Jesus Christ. He gave out his son as a sheep to be slaughtered. As Jesus was slaughtered, he was slaughtered and the lot of blood was poured for you to come away from that sinful nature, to turn back to God. Because remember, you were created in the image of God. So if you are created in the image of God, God is calling upon you to accept his son Jesus, and automatically your life, you will never remain the same again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please, it is simple. If you want to accept Jesus Christ, you just confess with your mouth. And if you are ready to confess, you can confess these words. Repeat after me as I speak. Lord Father, God, I say thank you very much for this opportunity. I've listened to this audio message concerning the love you have for me, concerning the salvation you brought to me through your son, Jesus Christ. This wonderful day, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life from today. Father God, forgive me all my sins. Wash my name from the book of the dead and put my name in the book of life. I come unto you because you are my Redeemer. My parents, the resources I have cannot help me. But I've come to you who has all the help, who has all the solution of life, to give me life in abundance. I refuse every curse which was put on my life. I refuse every hand of the devil which has been on my hand, on my life since I was born. This wonderful day, I accept the hand of God to come upon me. I accept the hand of Jesus Christ to come upon me. Because from today, he's going to be my Redeemer. I offer my life to you, Jesus. Come and sit in my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. You're blessing people listening to these voices, to these messages. and that you will touch them, that you will save them as they pray this prayer, Father God. You will touch them, and you will remove all evil things that are bothering them. I thank you, Father God, that you will touch them and release your anointing over them and deliver them from all captivity in the name of Jesus. Amen.